Is that a... You silly sod!
Welcome to NC Gum Bunnies, episode 22. This is Will.
This is Keith.
All right. So, how are you doing this fine morning?
I'm exhausted.
Okay. So, we have a whole bunch of events coming up. I know you came back from StormCon this weekend.
I did, but that's not what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about our way to StormCon.
Okay, I know, but not giving any spoilers, but I heard y'all did kind of well.
Yeah, we did all right.
Okay. So, we are, we're going to be talking about on the way to StormCon. Is there a lot of interesting War Machine talk up in there?
Disclaimer, this episode may have no War Machine content.
Ah, okay. So, so events. Roll it Gazette. All right. So, in June, this weekend, we have at Cape Fear Games in Wilmington, North Carolina, Privateer Press Weekend.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. If we hadn't already kind of committed to going to something else this weekend, then that wouldn't be a bad time.
All right. So, July 1st starts Gamers Armory Journeyman League.
Sweet.
July 10th starts Journeyman League at Atomic Empire. That is both bring your own beer and build your own battle box.
Hmm. That seems busted. Sounds like fun, though.
Yep. All right. So, the 12th of July, we have a qualifier at your local game store in Matthews, North Carolina.
I'm not even sure where that is.
Out near Charlotte.
Yeah. It's where Harris Teeter started.
It is a 50-point Divide and Conquer 1 2-list qualifier for Mace.
Sweet.
All right. The 19th, we have a qualifier at Atomic Empire that is free admission.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And the 26th, we have a 3-list Mace qualifier at Cape Fear Games in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Sweet. We might have to go hang out at that one.
Oh, yeah. They always come up to hang out at our events. So
yeah, it's true.
Might as well give them the return treatment. And M, with the new car, wants to go to the beach. And I was just like, oh, this is perfect.
So to speak.
All right. So, cons and other events. So, June 27th, 29th, this weekend, is Con Temporal in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yep. So hopefully we get enough players for that.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Fingers crossed. July 4th through 6th, Marietta, Georgia, GigaCon.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
And yeah, it's just a step closer because Keith didn't end up winning DICON. So.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on down.
We got a whistle with your name on it.
Yep. So that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. On July 12th through 13th in Eastridge, Tennessee, is the American Team Championship.
Unfortunately, due to some scheduling errors, we won't be able to make that. I think Liam and Andy and I don't remember who the other person was, kind of had to cancel on that. So it does not look like we'll be participating in the ATC this year, perhaps next year.
That's very sad.
It is very sad. I was looking forward to it, actually.
All right. August 14th through 17th is Gen Con.
Sweet.
Just figured I'd put it on here because I've been putting August but not putting Gen Con for some reason.
I mean, you know, Gen Con.
Gen Con, whatever. So, yeah. Y'all probably know about Gen Con if you know about all the cons. I mean, it is the biggest gaming convention in America.
I don't know if that's true, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. In terms of, like, just overall, it covers your RPGs, your war games, your stuff like that. It's huge. Huge, huge, huge convention. All right. August 28th through 31st is the Nova Open in Virginia, Arlington, Virginia.
Sweet. Looking forward to that one as well.
Yep. Looking forward to that one, definitely. So, almost no War Machine content, did I?
Yep.
And, I was not in this car trip. And not only that, but I should definitely get flack for this. I didn't even show up on the non-StormCon tournament this weekend. I had Chris and Joe call me and talked to me, and I was in the middle of talking to car dealership people for a new car.
Yeah, well, that may be well and good, but it's no excuse for not showing up and playing a War Machine.
I mean, I was hoping to get in and get out, and it didn't really work out because they sold the car that I wanted.
Yeah, well, just not to you, right?
Yeah, just not to me. They just didn't sell it to me. But it happens. We're good and we're straight now. So follow us on Twitter, the_gunbunnies. Like us on Facebook, Gun Bunnies Podcast. And the website where you can find out about these events and more and get in contact with the Gun Bunnies is ncgunbunnies.org. We have forums. We have articles and stuff like that get posted every once in a while. So go ahead and check that out. And don't forget to check out the Museum Mini store.
Sounds good. Is that it?
I believe that is it. We can go ahead and start the episode.
All right. Signing out. The Ruler Gazette.
Signing out.
This is author, English guy from Oxford. His job is to like explain science to
people.
The people. And he's very strongly atheist. But I was reading his Selfish Gene book recently. And the way you say that, like, well, you know, people have like things like factories that do things. I'm like, not really. They just did shit. And then like the rest of us adapted to like deal with, you know, to use it successfully. And I'm like, man, I've been reading way too much evolutionary theory recently, because I immediately took a front to you being like, oh, well, they're factories. I'm like, no, they aren't. It's the users that adapted.
Yeah. Well, you know, the environment, I guess, 9 times out of 10, right, probably all the time, is that the organism has to adapt to the environment to survive.
Yep.
I don't know if there's ever been a proven case where the organism could adapt the environment to itself to survive. But
I mean, there's like beaver dams from people and stuff.
Yeah, but we have to adapt to the environment, right? I mean, we take what's in the current environment and change shit through inventions to make it so we can use it, but
don't we also like change the environment physically, like chop down all the forests, for example?
Well,
like,
that's different though. What I'm saying, evolution basically goes, hey, there's some sort of environmental factor,
right?
And
we need to
adapt. It causes you to adapt, right?
Right.
We're not really adapting. We're just blowing shit up. There's
well,
a difference,
anymore,
right?
You're
cutting shit down.
I mean, I imagine, yes, like the original humans, you know, however long ago, probably had to like adapt to whatever their surroundings were.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at...
But
like,
nowadays, we just...
Well, if you look at Cro-Magnon man, Neanderthal man, and that other fucker, I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah,
it's the third one that was around at the same time. They look so different from one another, but... you know, it just depended on where you were, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
up and one of them went out, right? Good old Homo sapiens.
Cro-Magnon. Although, they're saying, I guess, Neanderthal started producing into the gene pool as well, because, you know, they're Neanderthal genes in most current Homo sapiens.
Yeah, but...
And let me tell you, man, that word has always bothered me.
Homo sapiens sapiens?
Homo sapiens sapiens. I'm like, some motherfucker just was like, we the wisest of the wise men. Fuck you, buddy. I'm just saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because that's some balls. I'm just saying.
Yeah, a little bit of hubris.
Yeah.
Science never does that. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I think that was just a typo somewhere. Yeah. And the scientists like, you know, we meant it. We meant that shit. Yeah.
Maybe somebody just had a stuttering issue. And
it could have been.
You
yeah,
know, somebody sure was literally, you know, stenographing it or whatever.
Yeah,
well, and so recorded it twice because
they
stuttered.
Maybe Einstein was drunk at that yeah day and he was just like, oh, safety, goddamn bombs. Boom.
No, clearly it was just the secretary. I've seen Mad Men. This was way before then, right?
Oh,
secretary
yeah
was just
yeah
like, look, do you want your dinner tonight? Because I'm not retyping this shit. Homo sapiens it is.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, like, the great thinkers having all the power, but really, it's their secretaries, you know, because, you know, they don't want to really do all of that work. They just, you know, they're like, okay, this is how it's going to be, and, you know, I'll record it for you, but if I screw up, you know, we're just going to sweep this under the rug.
That's true. I'm sure in ancient Greece, the guys that were writing down everything for Aristotle and Plato, they were just like, fuck it, this is what I said, goddamn
yeah
it. They
sure
ain't gonna read this shit back.
Yeah.
Well,
especially
like,
not fucking Socrates, right?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm fucking getting drunk and banging somebody in the ass.
Hey.
Because that's what Socrates did.
That's what he did.
I don't know.
That's why they killed the shit out of him. No, so Socrates.
No pun intended?
No pun intended. No.
Maybe.
Socrates was a.
Just the tip of a. Intended?
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
Of intention.
That's not gay, right?
No homo.
Can I get out of the car?
No. Socrates was effectively killed for being like public a public nuisance, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, the public nuisances was one, he was a proponent for homosexuality, right, which was not okay in ancient Greece. Everybody fucking thinks it was, but it's not. And that wasn't homosexuality the way we know it today. It was different. It was based on what they considered the male-female, you know, what's male and what's female, right? So basically it was who's giving who the cock. That's really all it boiled down to, right? The chicks take the cock, the guys give it. So if a guy's getting it from another guy, one's technically the female is how they looked at it.
Right.
That was a philosophical viewpoint. And they were like, no, if you're above like 14 and you're a man or male, you cannot get it in the ass because that's a female viewpoint. And that goes against everything. That's why that whole issue that they had with the mentoring of young boys was okay because young boys didn't technically have a sex at that point. So
until they were 14?
It was like 13, 14.
Yeah, whatever the age of majority
was. They start
growing
hair on their nuts. Yeah. That's pretty much the cutoff point, right? That's why I always say Alexander the Great, really, that's why they never really, no one knew why he conquered the world. It's because Aristotle mentored him. And I was like, dude, just did not like getting that big man dick in his ass. And he was just like, I got issues now. And he beat everybody's ass because of it, right? He's like, no, no dirty hippie. I don't want the beer can in my ass tonight. But,
I don't think I remember reading that in Guns, Germs, and Steel.
I'm interpreting that.
Guns, germs, and steel, and dicks.
I'm reading between the lines, right? Yeah. Because Aristotle was his mentor,
right?
Aristotle was part of that tradition, which was granted like the upper 1%. So that's where you don't want to be in that 1%, right? As a young boy, it's a trade-off, right?
Yeah. I wonder who like figured that one. Like, who was the first guy that was like, you know, what we need in this caste system is essentially rape. We need child rape.
And it's not the girls. No, it was the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor boys.
It's like, I'll deposit my seed in you for learning.
Yeah, that's where those guys for NAMBLA, like they're kind of their whole background thing, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. That's kind of like their whole deal is they go back to ancient Greece and Rome. And they're like, well, they did it. I'm like, well, just because they did it.
Yeah,
you know, doesn't mean we
they also did all kinds of crazy dumb shit. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad my mother listens to this podcast.
She's learning things about history.
Well, you know what's funny is I know a lot of you guys try to do like safe for work stuff, and as soon as I'm on here,
like
you might as well
not safe for work.
Yeah, you might as well get rid of that shit because I can't help it. Man.
It's okay. We have explicitated tags.
It's funny because the only time I'm on here,
explicitated
is, like,
is that a GW word?
No, it's a it's
that
a,
is a GW word. I'm pretty sure
it may be.
Yeah,
it's a Focus and Fury thing, but it may have come from GW.
I meant Bush. He liked to make up words.
Oh, I thought you meant Games Workshop.
No, later on, strategize.
Yeah, strategize. Yeah, I knew where you were going with that.
Yeah, see?
It was both of them, actually. It wasn't just one. It was both.
No.
And Senior was a smart dude, which does not make any damn sense, considering, you know, he spoke like that. But maybe it's just, yeah.
Has anyone heard Jeb speak? You're from Florida. Is he?
Jeb was the better of the two sons, for sure.
I don't know. I've seen Jeb, and for some reason, I just see him as like a Southern California surfer boy. I don't know why, but he's like the surfer kid of the group, right?
He did pretty well in Florida, actually.
Like I see Jeb as the surfer boy, Dubby's the frat boy, and Senior's just like, oh, God. I was in the Air Force and the head of the CIA fucking A, and these are my kids.
Well, I mean, he spent all that time at work. He didn't spend all that time with his kids.
He had Babs. Yeah. And trust me, I'm pretty sure Babs would whoop their ass.
Yeah. I know my mom liked her. I'm a little bit too young to have a strong opinion about GW Older, but yeah. I wish she liked Babs.
Babs reminded me of Margaret Thatcher just from the way, just looking at him. I'm like, them some tough ladies. You don't want to fuck with them if you're their kids, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have
not safe for work. But I'm glad you picked up my reference.
Well, at least he did. I didn't.
Yeah, well.
I thought you were referring to Games Workshop.
No, sorry.
GGW,
I know.
Especially when we're talking about miniatures,
no,
supposedly.
If it's Games Workshop, you just have to watch out for the skulls and big-ass, like, particle cannons, right? The rail cannons. I mean, that's really there. Didn't they try to do put an IP out for skulls? And a couple of things. Yeah, I think they tried to, like, get their licensure for a couple of those things.
They tried to do all kinds of stuff like that a lot.
Like skulls?
I'm pretty sure you don't have a copyright on skulls.
I mean, I could see, like, you know, some of, the, like, their emblems, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Chaos Space Marines and stuff like that. They have very distinct looks to their emblems.
Yeah, maybe
but
like
not,
that
like,
helmet
just a
or
fucking
something.
Skull.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Space Marines, man, they have a look, right? They have a very just specific, like, shrunk version of Master Chief look to them going on. Even though they're the size of Master Chief, which doesn't make any sense. They do look short.
They did.
I don't know. When I got the minis the first time, I was like, damn, this dude must be like a dwarf. And then you find out he's like 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? There you go. There's the GW shout out.
Well, you know, you gotta deal with the real world problems of, you know, supply and materials cost and all that other stuff.
Well, and they're an older game too, so you know their first models were.
Yeah, their new stuff is gorgeous though, dude. Like the dark elder stuff is beautiful.
I like all the GW models for the most part. I mean, there's some that are kind of crappy looking, but that's like any line,
yeah,
right?
Some stuff you like, some you don't, but yeah. Their stuff's really good looking. In my opinion.
Yeah, and the games are fun. They're just fun in a different way from what we primarily play, or what I primarily play now.
You mean
yeah.
like competitive games?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, yeah. I mean, you go... they're competitive, but in a different way, right? Because, I mean, they're a much more strategic game than War Machine, I think, and War Machine's a much more tactically played game.
Sure.
You know, because... And what I mean by that, and I use these two words. My two words of it is strategy is the list build, and sticking to the way the list works, right?
Right.
And then you have tactics, which I see is like in-game kind of manipulation. So this happens, so what do you do, right?
Right.
It's all your options.
Right.
That's
probably a pretty fair analogy is
yeah.
the difference.
I mean, you can sometimes in GW, you know, you sit down across from your opponent and you're playing 40K and you kind of know right off the bat, I'm going to lose this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be if I win this, it's just stupid lucky,
yeah.
right?
I play mostly fantasy, but yeah, there
yeah.
is. You can tell
same
by
sort of
setup.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the, you know, certain lists just have innate advantages to other lists, but
yeah.
I mean, it's like that sometimes in War Machine too, but I think that that's less often the case.
Well, I do. Plus in War Machine, you know, you can always kill the caster and the game's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the two things that really got me, one of the two of the three things that really like about War Machine is, one, there's always the out of I kill your caster, right? So even if you're getting whooped on, it's not just like, well, now I have to go through the motions for another three turns. I can still maybe pull off a Hail Mary.
Right.
Two.
Which there was one gun in 40K that did that. I can't remember the name for
the
orc.
Yeah, it was like an orc gun or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you just roll a d20 and like
yeah.
random fucking wormholes pop up. That's a great gun.
Yeah, yeah.
I've actually seen that happen in a game before. The guy rolled it and got it twice in one game, and just like the very first time, he was like, "Oh, you have like a 500-point chaos god or chaos lord, demon lord, right?" Gone. The guy was like, "What the fuck?"
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
it's like boop, he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, it is a beer and pretzels game, they say.
Yeah, well, sort of, right? It should be. It should be a very fun game that's real laid back. The problem is, a lot of the times it's not, because people get way competitive into what have you got and this and that, and then the yeah. rules. It should be a real fun laid-back game, and it's not most of the time. I mean, it can be, and it should be.
Yeah.
And I like 40K, and I like fantasy. Fantasy's got, like, the best hobby aspect out of any game I've just about seen. It's awesome. Well, Confrontation had some good stuff, too. But
yeah, Confrontation had some beautiful
stuff. The minis were just gorgeous,
yeah.
right?
That's one of the werewolves looked amazing,
yeah.
right?
Right,
yeah.
They were Celtic werewolves.
Yeah,
so
they were
like,
awesome.
They're like, oh, we're a bunch of fucking Irish werewolves.
Yeah, they were, oh, those guys are, yeah. That was a pretty game.
Yeah.
They were
the
a French
dwarves,
company.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were, and they went out of business way too early. And the dwarves
yeah.
were great because they were like, we're Neo-Tokyo punk dwarves.
Oh,
know?
That would be sweet.
Like
yeah.
mohawks. And
oh
tattoos,
yeah, that's the way dwarves
and,
should be played,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Mohawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, and they did a lot of like stealing. Like, I mean, there's a lot of games that steal blatantly from cultural kind of things.
Sure,
but
it's hard not to.
They did very. They're just like neo-Japanese
yeah.
like motorcycle
yep.
gang dwarf guys. Like,
yep.
Like, you watch Akira and then
yeah.
play dwarves. Like.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The dwarves are basically Akira models,
yeah.
Yep. Yep. But,
yeah.
Anyway.
But, they were pretty. I'll give you that. They were pretty.
No, I think when you say beer and pretzel game, I think that's one of the ones where you can, I mean, you can do that with any game, right? You can do that with War Machine, but.
Sure.
But
yeah, but I mean.
When I'm saying playing beer and pretzels for 40K, it's more like you can set everything up and you should be able to have just a very enjoyable time. You move your squadron, you make your attack. Throw 20 dice because everybody
yeah.
in the unit's attacking. Right?
Exactly.
And then your opponent throws all his tough saves and, you know, go, whatever. In War Machine, a lot of the times, you know, you can have, well, I'm going to throw this guy to knock this down, which allows me to push this guy here, which sets up so I can have the caster shot, right?
Right.
And that ends the game. And
that's
so it's,
tactical. It's
right,
very tactical.
Right. And I think tactical games aren't as beer and pretzel-y.
No.
You have to think a little bit harder on that end. Now, apparently, there's all kind of new rules in the new 40K, which I hadn't got any of the new 40K
yeah,
stuff, but I guess there's a lot of new rules out where all kind of crazy shit can happen before the game even starts now, and I'm like, I don't like that. So, but, you know,
Yeah, I don't know. I think they do have different. They play to a different crowd better.
They do, and it's a great game. Everybody should play it at some point. And it's awesome to go look at the models, man.
Oh man,
you got some good hockeys in that game too.
That is for sure. Those guys are really.
Keith, were you with me at Nova when I was walked through the 4K
and I saw that stuff was fantastic.
The Chaos Chapel?
Oh, that thing was amazing. I wish I had gotten pictures of it.
So someone created a Chapel of Chaos and had the warp gates and everything coming into the chapel.
Nice.
So it looks like a demonic chapel with all the models in it. And it was their carrying.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
It was sweet, yeah.
It's like
it
a presentation tray.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you guys see the new Tree Man for the Wood Elves?
No.
You should check it out, dude.
Is
that thing
sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always called them Ents.
Yeah,
because that's what they are, right?
Are. Yeah.
But I think two Nova Opens ago, I saw a whole Ent army, effectively. You know, that's all the guy was running was Ents. And he's got, like, all of his stuff. And he's got, like, little fucking hobbits in their hair and everything
really?
That he modded in. Yeah. Or in the tops of the trees.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was pretty sweet. You don't see that as much in War Machine. I guess it's...
Well, they purposely kind of kill it, right? Because they have very... For competitive play, at least they have strict...
Now they do, yeah, you're right.
Rules.
Now, in metal too, right? Metal's a lot harder to deal with than the resin because you can. It's harder to cut through and everything.
Look at that orange. Maybe you can't see by the time it goes past. You can't. It was a. It's a lifted old. There it goes. Kind of. It's a lifted like old style like Buick, like big old fat Buick.
Actually, those are popular here in Fayetteville, man. With the big rims. And
yeah, lifted
on.
And big ass rims.
Yeah, where the rims actually probably cost more than the car does because the Buick's from the 80s.
Yeah.
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 I don't know why, but that is popular here in the Fayetteville area.
But, yay. Good job, everyone.
But no, I've seen some really good conversions, you know, and I've seen some just really good paint jobs, like Prime.
Yeah,
right? Prime.
Yeah.
He has a
fantastic.
He's just an amazing painter, right?
And modeler, actually, because those bases that he takes a lot of time
on. His custom
on
bases? Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting my galleon off of him, but...
Did you get it then?
Yeah, I went ahead and got it from him, yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, this is how good Prime stuff is. I'm just going to put it in the study as like just to look at, right? I'm not actually going to play it.
Well, I could understand you. The reason I thought you got it is because... I know that you've got a galleon and it's modded, and I didn't know if it was outside of the new PP modding
rules.
It's
not.
Okay.
No, because the only thing... All right, so if you look at my galleon, it has a... So I do mod stuff, and I'm not that great at it, but, you know, I try. And what I did was I just chopped off his legs and put Storm Shredder legs on, so it's still PP parts, and it's over 50% of the original model, right? Because his torso is ridiculously large. He's got both of his normal arms.
Yeah.
The only thing I added to him... that is non-PP is that that thing on his shoulder.
The anchor?
It's a prow.
It's the prow of the ship.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and it's like the dark, it's a Reaper Mini, and I don't think they'd have a problem with that. I don't think. This is just on his shoulder, right?
Yeah, but, it's not a weapon or anything important.
Right, and I replaced all the chains with jeweler chains, so I mean that's actual like hanging off of him. But on his base, like all the stuff on his base is either handmade, or it's like pirate models, right? So I've got some cannons out there and some pirates. So I've actually I had like two or three of the artillery pieces for pirates. I don't fucking know why because I've never played them. They're horrible. Well, I take it back. I've played everything I've got. They're horrible. I don't like to play them because they're shitty. But they look really good on the base because they're awesome looking minis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those little cannons are. And then I... almost feel like my Earthbreaker would not pass the muster because while the Dark Maiden on the shoulder is not really super noticeable, those treads that
because
I replaced the Earthbreaker's legs with treads from a Basilisk tank or a Chimera, whatever you want to call it, that is definitely noticeable, and it's got the GW symbol. And now I flip the treads upside down because they look better that way on my model, but there's still the small GW symbol on there as well, so you know.
That would only matter at
like
lock and load or
something
like that.
And even then, I mean,
anything the hacksaw runs, basically.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, I don't know if they would, you know, if they don't catch you in the beginning of the game, right? And you get to the finals, do they DQ you or do they just let you go and they don't take pictures of your stuff? I mean, it's not that hard for me to cover up the little symbol, the GW symbol on the treads. And then it's just tank treads, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Could be from anything.
So I don't know. I think I would just ask when I went to one of those, which we don't get a chance to go to a lot of the big conventions like that because of where we're located on the East Coast, right?
Right.
And I know at GigaCon that Prime's already told me that they have no problem with my Earthbreaker. And then I know at Nova they have no problem with the Earthbreaker.
Yeah,
so.
Well, like I said, those aren't PP. Those aren't PP judged events. Right, so And now if they were,
I've been to Gen Con before, and I had stuff that was altered and converted, and they didn't have any problems. But this was, you know, like
before,
2 years ago
yeah.
before the new rule came out. So, and I understand why they're wanting their stuff in there. And a lot of good, there are a lot of good modders that use other people's stuff, but I've seen guys that just do stuff from scratch. And
you did a lot of stuff from scratch on that Thakrosh.
That Thakrosh, it was all scratch. Yeah, everything
was
handmade.
Good.
Because they had the little provision on that it wouldn't be judged if it were, like, if I used somebody else's parts, right? So that's why I did everything out of scratch. The backpack I was the most proud of. It probably looked shitty. But I made it all out of, like, plastic sprues.
No, I thought it was cool.
And little like, plastic, like, straws and shit.
So what they're talking about, all you people out in Radio Land, right, there was the Wounded Warrior Project, which I think has been a previous podcast for Gun Buddies. And so a bunch of crew from down in Raleigh Triangle area were going to go up. Ended up not happening, which is, you know, okay. But Liam had modded up Thagrosh for his caster and made him kind of Bokurish.
Yeah, he was supposed to. So my, you know, the whole.
And he's playing dwarfs or marks or whatever.
Right, I was playing Seerforge, right? I wanted to do like a whole big theme, and I hadn't read through all the rules exactly, but there was a hobby aspect of it that I was kind of excited for, and they let you do like a Who's the Boss, and then on top of Who's the Boss, there's a spell draft, right? So I pulled Thagrosh as my Who's the Boss guy because I was like, oh, I'll do Seerforge, right? And I'll just use an Earthbreaker and Thor and just a general little list. At 35 points, but the big thing was, one, the reason I wanted to pull Thagrosh is so I could bring the Earthbreaker back, because that just seems hilarious and dickish all at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Especially when Thagrosh's aura makes the Earthbreaker armor 22, right?
Right, yeah. Seems okay.
Yeah,
Fair balanced.
Especially when I pulled Blood of Kings as my very first spell on him.
Right.
But, yeah, I had a ridiculous spell list. I mean, it was ridiculous. But, anyway, so I was like, you know, my whole thing was that, hey, he's a, let me turn that off. He's a Bokur, right? And so I did like a whole hobby thing about him going into the woods, finding the stone, the Anthak, but it hasn't taken over him. So he hasn't turned into like the prophet of Everblight yet, right? So it's just whispering to him right now. So it's giving him almost like Warcaster abilities initially. And so it's pre-corruption. And that's what I was going for. So he's still a Bokur, you know, but I gave him his weapon, and instead of keeping it as like the Batleth looking thing, you know, from Star Trek, I split it in half and put a pin through it, so I turn it into a double bladed
spear.
Yeah. So nice. So like the Bokur, you know.
Yeah,
spear.
It was more like a brass rod than a pin, but
yeah, it was a brass rod.
Yeah, I wouldn't want people to get it think that it was like real short.
No, it was. I just made it look
really
like a Bokur
long,
weapon.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would. It just does fit in my large.
Yeah,
base.
I believe
my battle foam.
Yeah,
you know, in the generic large base ones, because he's so big. And then I gave him a shield and everything.
You also gave him like the Warcaster, you know, generator or whatever in the back.
Yeah, the backpack,
which you were talking about.
Yeah, the backpack, and I modded all this chainmail on him to make him look like a Bokur, and I gave him chest armor and everything. And I never got to finish him up, which I was thinking about doing, but I have like some cabling and some tubing and stuff that I had made, so I was just gonna like link the backpack to the chest plate and all that stuff. You know?
Right. Right, but you also were talking about like he had like this gem or whatever, and
oh, it's the Anthak, right?
Right.
The,
yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote a backstory for him and everything, and I renamed all of his spells to be more Seerforge, you know. Seerforge.
In the shocking turn of events, Liam renames his caster spells.
Yeah, I do that
I know,
a lot,
right?
Just in case anybody plays me out there. I make up some stupid names sometimes, and I try to write them down on token, whatever the hell it's called, the upkeep spell token and the spell token. I try to write it down properly on those. I don't always, because I do get to, like, Gorton's Strength of Granite, I call it way strong, and I've been calling that forever, and I think a couple of other guys that have, I know Rich and all the guys, Dennis and Nate, have started calling it
way
strong. Way
strong,
too,
and rock hard.
Rock hard.
Run and lug.
Yeah, for Brun and lug, but, because the motherfucker gets way strong, and then when I ran Fiona, man, I don't know the name of any of her damn spells.
Nope.
She's got all those unique-ass weird spells, and I'm like, well, I know what they do. So this one is Errant Ability, right? Because it's the self-sack for the Errant, so I think that's Ross Mercy. And then one's like a magic gun that lets you see through shit, so I write like magic gun down, and
Yeah, it works.
It'd help if I actually play the models more than a few games, and then I'd actually know what the spell lists were. But.
Yeah. Well, you know what they are, and you can always look them up.
It's just the names. Yeah. So I do have a bad habit of that, but it right. helped out with the with Thagrosh.
Yeah.
So.
Also, I think it's hilarious. Yeah. So. Sure.
Well, I mean, I thought it was cool too because, like, the dwarves thought, like, the Vote Course thought he was like the savior or whatever.
Well, what I did was the way the plot for the hobby side of it was he's a disgraced Bokor, kind of like Gudrun, right? And he goes out and he's going to kill himself, and like he does, and so everything's the same, you know, right up to where he gets the Anthak. But when he comes back, because he's got the Warcaster talent, no Ogryn has ever had that. That's something they're not supposed to be able to have in the RPG, is the Warcaster ability.
Mm-hmm.
That he's special, right? So everybody's like, he really gains status. And his name, Thagrosh the Blessed,
I think so, yeah.
I was like Thagrosh the Divine, Thagrosh the Blessed, but Thagrosh the Divine makes me think he's like a transgender stripper. So, I mean, I decided not to go with that, right? So,
I mean, you could have fabulous'd him up.
I could have. I mean, I just decided to go with the Blessed. So, you know, and all of his abilities were like that. And it was neat. I wish I could have made it out there. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to. But maybe I'll finish the model up and give it to, like, somebody that plays Legion. Maybe Andy or somebody. I don't know. Fuck Andy. Fuck you, Andy.
Yeah.
It's not. You can say that.
I wouldn't give it to Andy.
That as much as you want because he doesn't listen to this show anyways.
What? Andy is on here more than anybody except for you and Will.
I know.
And he doesn't listen to the show?
No.
Like, I bet Andy's been on, like, every other podcast.
He's been on a lot.
I've been on, like, a couple, but it's like, Liam, do a battle report. And I sit here and I just run my mouth, like, stupidly for, like, an hour and say way too much when it should have been, like, he did this and failed and I caster killed him. Or I tried for a caster kill and I failed and he caster killed me, you know.
Yep.
And then the other ones are like this. I think there was one other one we were driving down to, like, GnomeCon.
Yeah.
Which... you know, are not safe for work because I'm just running my mouth.
But, yeah, yep. That's fine. Government employees.
So I've got a theory on why Andy is on here every other episode. It's because he brings the munchies, right? So he just shows up in their apartment looking for munchies. And they're just like, I guess.
Skyped into the last one. I'm like, what the hell was he trying? I think he was trying to hit up his dealer and he Skyped the wrong people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, he did make it onto the top table. And Brian suggested it, so I blame Brian.
But he got third.
Did he?
Yeah.
And he ended up with third?
Yeah, I got second.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they said it in the podcast.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Brian just goes, well, it was me and Andy on top table, so did you want to get Andy in here too? And I was like, I guess. You suggested it, so.
No,
you know,
that was actually a pretty fun event.
It didn't turn out bad. We got like 8 battle reports in like under an hour, which is really awesome, I thought.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Brian beforehand, and I was like, battle reports are fine, but I noticed the last couple of times that you've had me on for battle reports, I'm just taking like, I'm taking like 10 minutes of battle report, and I'm like, that's just kind of that's got to be boring people there. I'm sure it's putting people to sleep, so let's just be real fast, as fast as you can, and get it done. There were some really neat lists, though, at the event. I think that's something I don't think was brought up.
Yeah.
Like, John came from Wilmington, and John ran his Rias rearguard.
Is that
list.
Legion, John?
Yeah.
Same money.
I like those guys.
That's
I like it when
awesome.
Those Wilmington guys show up. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, the very cool list.
And that Anthony lives out there, right?
Anthony.
Yeah.
His dad, Robert. They came down. And Anthony had a good list, but he runs a solid Legion list. It's very different than what most people does.
He really
likes
does.
The guys like Kallus. He does a really good job at just beating you down with stuff like that.
And
I appreciate playing that.
Oh, Vale One's awesome.
Kallus very underappreciated in Legion, I feel.
And Anthony's a good player and a cool dude. And his dad was playing Mercs. He always plays Mercs, which is kind of neat. It's always good to see mercenaries out there. We actually had 3 mercenary casters or 3 mercenary players at the event.
Yeah.
Last
time I
remember what that other
guy. 3 out of my 5 guys were Mercs.
Kind of nuts, right?
Yeah. Durgan twice in a row.
But so we had the really neat Rias rear guard list, theme list, whatever you want to call it. And so that had all the multi-wound guys, right?
Yep.
And then there were 2 of those meat mountain list, the beefy kind of troll list.
Right.
Brian, and then I think it was another guy from Wilmington ran one.
Yeah, it was slightly different.
And then Alan ran this really unusual list, which was a Kaya 2 tier list, right? It's the one he's been posting on the forum.
Yeah, I haven't met him yet, or I don't remember.
Oh, Alan's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
But the the list is really weird because it doesn't look like it has any hitting power until you see a like 4-point griffin come up at power 16. It's charged for free. It's got 3 attacks and it's got 3 initials. So it's hitting you with 6 power 16s, and you're like, well, that's not that bad, until you realize it's just voluming you to death, right?
Yeah.
And who cares if it burns out all its volume because it's primaled and it's got that what's that other spell Kaya has?
Forced Evolution.
Forced Evo. And then she can spout it. That's the upkeep, right?
Yep.
Then she can throw it on cycle it to her other griffin. Yep. He does the same thing, and I don't think that kills a colossal, but that's
he's got
a lot
all,
of damage he can throw out.
But
right?
He's got all those boosted power 13 shots from his
all the thorns,
blood,
right? Because
yeah,
they
the
all
blood.
Start with a all
yeah,
start
that's,
with soul.
That's our new tier list out of
the no quarter.
Quarter.
Yeah,
it's
a
real
very
good.
Cool list, and Alan's planning it well. He hasn't played in a while, but he just started back, and he's doing the right thing. So he's going to Gen Con. And he wants to play like just 2 lists until he goes to Gen Con,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And he's only gotten to one. He only managed to get into one event, which I guess it booked up really fast this
yeah.
year.
Well, they always do, and they never like it doesn't make sense. Well, I mean,
it depends
kinda
on when you book them, right? Because I booked mine the first day, I got in like everything.
Right, but no, I mean like for the on the event organization side, like if it fills up every year, you would think you would get a bigger venue.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well,
yeah,
they've,
but you haven't been. Gen Con's
no,
fucking
Gen Con.
Huge. So I don't know if they have a way to get a bigger venue there.
Could be.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally have to move states, I think, to find a bigger place because it's a very, very large venue.
Also, they do a lot of, as I've been told since I've been to a big con like this, there's a lot of people that sign up for everything in the first day and then just people get a waiting list and a lot of people don't show up because they're drunk or tired
it's
or
true.
Made
yeah,
masters
yeah,
earlier
yeah.
or whatever they're trying to do.
Yeah,
and so they don't play through.
And what happens is, which you'll see a lot of the times too, so you might see somebody sign up for one event, and if they qualify for Masters,
yep.
right, they won't play
right.
anything.
Exactly, yet. Yeah.
Especially
or they'll
Gen
go do
Con,
other things.
Right.
Yeah, at Gen
especially
Con,
at
right.
Gen Con.
Yeah, and honestly, and then some guys only like go for the night events because they know there's going to be less guys playing in those events, right?
Yeah.
So it's like all about tournament preparation. And that's the more competitive side of it, which Gen Con also has all the fun stuff too
yeah.
that you
right.
don't want to miss out on. And sadly, when I went, and I've only been 1 year, but I played too much stuff. I didn't think about it. And so, like, the first day, I played in Rites of Passage, and it was something like, I don't know, like 8 rounds or something crazy like that. Yeah, it was like a 14-hour day or 15. It was insane. I got there at, like, 8 in the morning, and I was done at, like, 10 at night or 11 at night or something. It was a fun event. There were some good games, but it was very tiring. And I missed, like, everything. Like, I couldn't even go into the dealer hall because I didn't have time, right?
Mm.
Because, you know, my games tend to take a while because I like the attrition play. I like to keep
right.
punching and punching and punching. I don't play a lot of just caster kill. Even when I play Crix or Scorn, I don't just straight out caster kill.
Yeah, you like to embarrass the opponent first and then
I just like to
kill.
Grind it out, man. I think it, no. My,
I know, I'm just giving
my
you
tactics are, it's funny because, you know, if someone asks me if I'm a strategic player, I'm going to say no, I'm a horrible strategic player. And they're like, well, so you're a tactical player. And I'm like, yeah, I'm more of a tactical player, but unfortunately my tactics are walk up the board, get punched in the face, and then figure out what to do, right?
Right.
So it's like my guys are like, we're all drunk. Oh, shit, we got punched. We got to fight now.
Yeah. It's like the typical bar fight.
More in-depth than that, but
that's really like my style.
It's different. It's become a little bit more different now that the Earthbreaker has Thor, or the Thor has the Earthbreaker.
No.
Because honestly, when Liam was playing Mercs like last year, and they didn't have Galleon or Earthbreaker, like he would be like running dudes up the field and like making them all super tough and being like, deal with it. You know what I mean? Which means he's pretty much going to take the first punch, right? Even if you're automatically guaranteed to pass.
My boom howlers get hit a lot in the face. They do. They take a lot of punches.
That's their whole job. Like,
and
who even signs up? Yeah,
yeah,
and your press gangers.
Yeah, I like to run the 20 press ganger list, or the 20 press gangers in my list. That's just something I enjoyed playing. And those guys, man, that's a lot of dudes you just got to beat to death real fast. And they can just take it.
Yeah.
Typically. Especially if you have something like Doc or Grogspar. I mean, just 20 press gangers in general is a lot to kill.
It is,
yeah.
Especially for the point cost, which
yeah.
is almost nothing.
Yeah, they're 12 points, but they're the same as steelheads. They're the cheapest thing you can get in the game. And they got advanced deploy. That's the reason I run them over steelheads.
Yeah.
It's because I like to run them with colossals. And with the colossal in the back, they just take up so much real estate.
Yeah.
Can't deploy the steelheads effectively with the colossal.
Yep.
Yeah, it's hard to.
Yeah, I actually like steelheads in Signar and in Crix, and I don't really like them in Mercenaries, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, course, I like to still have calving creeks as well, too.
Yeah.
That's
you saw that, you know, Brian White was using that.
I've seen that.
When you were at Crucible.
Yeah, and Brian's a great player, of course, but I had played that a long time ago, and I knew exactly what they could do. And the big thing is you can kill the calf fairly easily. They're not that resilient, but a lot of the times the steelheads are the easier target right off the bat. So you shoot the steelheads to death real fast because then the calf are nowhere near as mean.
Yeah, it turns out flank's real good.
Well, the thing is, like, he and Brian put him with a great caster, too, so he runs him with Asphyxius 1, right? And Asphyxius has Parasite.
Right.
So
turn him up to 15,
Parasite and flank,
yeah.
And I can't remember if Scything Touch is friendly faction or not. I think it's just friendly. And if it's just friendly, then you can Scything Touch them. Asphyxius 1 would be a really good caster, which I play Krieg, so, but it's been a while since I haven't played him since last, like,
when
Nova
I first
August?
Showed up. Yeah. That's
September
a year ago.
Yeah, so I switched to Seer Forge and then the Mercs, and I won't play them again until next year after when I'm done with Scorn.
Scorn, yeah.
But, Pete Gaspy is a great caster, I would imagine, to run all the Cav, right? So you could probably run Bane Cav, Soul Hunters, and Steelhead Cav all in one list fairly effectively with just a couple of Arc Nodes on him to arc his spells. And then his feet will take care of all the infantry that get in the way.
A lot of it, yep.
Yeah, because you can just parasite something and just walk up and feed. You know, good infantry, well, not good infantry, but let's just say you're more generic, more seen infantry, like Nyss, gun mages, things like that. Let's say high defense infantry.
Yep.
Mage Hunter Strike Force. They're all like Armor 11.
Yeah, all
so
those
his feet
scout
actually
guys.
Kills them effectively. I mean, really effectively. At Nova, one of the guys I was playing against was running a Denny 1 list, and he had, like, Crows, Nyss and Satixis in it, right? So it's all high defense, can't hit. And so, like, he runs all of his stuff up turn one, and I run a Arc Node up. I pop a Parasite off into a unit of Satixis. Into the Satixis, yeah, because they're armor 12, so they're a little harder, right?
Of course, they're Cricks. You would think they'd be 14-11, but actually they're 16-12.
Yes, that's true.
Because they're Cricks.
They are 16-12, yeah. Anyway, so I charge my own Arc Node in the ass, and I just don't think he saw this coming. And I pop feet, right? Yeah. And I just kill so much of that shit. Like, turn one, it's kind of nuts, and then teleport away. But but his feet can do that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like a power 5, I think. I always
even like Brian White did some. I saw him do something similar to a Scorn player. He just charges Asphyxius up.
Kill the pain givers?
Yeah. And, like, he killed, like, half the pain givers.
And that's worth it because Scorn lose so much. A Bronzeback's still a mean man, but when you lose 2 power on every single attack
and
the free charge,
yeah,
that's a big deal because then he's power 17s for, 5, 6, 7, 8 attacks versus power 19s for 8 attacks.
9 attacks or 7
He's got the 2 base and the tusk,
but
he's got chain attacks. He's got 4 base, and then he's 5 fury.
So he has 4 more.
Yeah, he's got 9 attacks then.
Damn, so 9 attacks.
That's
with
right,
the recharge.
Because you can actually headbutt the Colossals now. They can't be knocked down, but you can actually get the damage.
Can
roll,
you?
Right? I think so.
Yeah.
That was like a big deal that they couldn't chain attack, but it they don't get affected by it, but they still get hit. Same thing with
like a
critical brutal from like a mule or the Conquest, right?
Right?
I think that's why they did that, because Conquest, if he critted shooting a Colossal, it did no damage.
Right.
Right? Because he can't be slammed, so he was immune to the effect. And they were like, oh, that's just stupid, right?
Right.
So let's. He's still hitting him. He's just not affecting him the same way.
Yeah, you don't get the whatever.
You don't get the slam, but you still get the
knockdown.
Yeah, or the knockdown from the headbutt. And his headbutt's like only 1 power less than his
a bronze back
fist.
Is bananas.
Yeah, yeah. They are, I think that's probably the litmus test for damage dealing, right? Because you might be able to get some stuff higher, like Clyde, the Earthborn people. His name is Clyde. You know, if he's beside like a...
Yeah, if you get next to the right thing.
High power, I mean, he can go stupid. Like, I mean, there's always the Kovas example, which gets him up to 30, which is silly, or 26 or whatever, which is silly. But, I mean, just with a few, there's a lot of stuff that's power 6, right, which will put him at power 18, and then, you know, you got all the anima that gives him extra strength,
and
the Krill Stone gives him extra strength.
Yeah, I've been playing with troll lists recently. I've really enjoyed playing with troll lists, yeah.
But anyway, they
can put out damage like champs.
But I think the Bronzeback is one of the few models in the game that
he's the gold standard.
Yeah, because I mean, you're going to have pain givers in every list. You might not have, you know, Doomy with a slag and I don't know.
Yeah.
But in every list, but you're going to have the pain giver beast handlers in every single Scorn list, right?
Yeah. There's no reason not to.
No, I mean, they're 2 points for a minimum unit,
and they're great just as like a screen, even because they're reach guys with anatomical precision.
Right? I actually run them like that.
Yeah,
in my Rasheath list, the one I can't wait to play That's what I use my infantry is those guys. Yeah, and they also make really good targets to blow them up, right? For Rishi's arts, his all magic right. channel through, which auto kills yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the bronze back is the gold standard of killiness.
Yeah.
Because he's Mat 7, right?
He is Mat 7. He's got beat back, which is nice. It's only one cost, anima, which really? Means he can get places, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, weird-ass places. Yep.
Just like Mullock. I mean, you throw, like, beat back on Mullock and with sidestep, and he's like, I move 3 inches. Ha-ha-ha, stabby-stabby. But he doesn't punch like the bronze back. I mean, corner case, he can. I know some of the guys, I think Nate and Dennis were talking about the new Imperatus or Imperatus. I think we just need to settle on what his name is. I'm
Imperatus.
Is it Imperatus?
That's what I'm going with.
Well, I almost think it's – yeah, that's fine.
Imperatus?
Well, I think that's a – well, for one, remember the – oh, shit, I missed my turn.
Okay. It's my fault.
For one, the the – you know, the ret don't fucking make any damn sense with the way they spell their words, right?
Well, yeah, but this one doesn't even have 73 Ys in it for no good fucking reason.
That's true, but I think the that means something's amiss. The people saying Imperatus is because it sounds almost like emperor, right? And he's like the King Jack there. He's their apotheosis level. So I can kind of see that. But I think Imperatus is probably better because it's like the imperative program or imperative protocol, right, that gets him going.
Yeah.
I
mean, but the word in English is imperative. It's not right. imperative.
Right. Right.
I mean, I admit that it's, you know, made-up language because it's Elvish and whatnot, but hey, whatever.
You say potato, I say potato.
Yeah.
Hey, we can argue about Kador and Kador later if you want.
Anyway, they were talking about how much damage he can put out because he's, I think, with he goes up like power 19, I think, with concentrated power. Anyway, the whole point is that Mullock can corner case hit harder because he's got combo strike. That's the big thing. So he can charge in and he can do that big power, like 20 plus combo strike if he wants to. And there's a lot of scoring casters with damage buffs. So he can hit insanely hard and then step away and then walk away with Fatewalker.
Yeah.
That's actually something I used to do with and the reason why I know that is I used to play Morgul a lot. Morgul 1, he's my favorite scoring caster, and I told myself I wasn't going to play him now because I played him for like a year straight. Like every single time I played, I was like, here's Morgul. but anyway, so you can have Mullock charge in with him and abuse him, right, and rush him and get him whatever.
Yep.
And it's very easy to get him wherever. And then he's like, I'm power 17 or power, what is it? He's an 8 plus 5. It's like 18 plus 4. He's like power 22 or 24 combos. I think it's power 24 on the combo strike. And that's ridiculous.
That's
a charge.
Yep.
Yeah.
With I can reroll for a fury if I do, for whatever reason, roll like shit?
Yes. Well, no. Yeah, it's sort of, right? It's he can't reroll the damage rolls. He can just add a dice, right? So it's boosting after the fact.
I thought he could reroll.
No,
never mind.
Prescience or future sight or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Let you boost after.
Boost after the fact.
It's Chrono, whatever the guy with the gun in. Master.
Or Scar's Jack Bond ability.
That's true.
Or whatever.
No, it's not Chronomancer. It's in Retribution. It's Chronomancier because it's weird language when it's Retribution.
So it's French?
Yeah. Well, they're, you know, elves.
What's that have to do with anything?
They do say Knigget.
They do.
Do they?
Yes.
Well, that makes it French then.
Yeah. But,
preface the beginning of the podcast.
I will taunt you.
But that's
second
what
time.
Mullock is an insane war beast. He really is. And it's a good thing he's only strength 8.
Yep.
Because if he were strength 10 or 11, like most heavies, his damage output would just be dumb.
Yep. But he's a tricky bastard, which is his point in life,
right? Yeah, so he's a scalpel. I mean, a lot of people have always said that he's the scalpel and the bronze back is the hammer. And it's which one you want to use. And the good thing is, with Morgul, you can use both.
Yep.
Why not, right?
What does that make Tiberian, out of curiosity?
The Rock.
Man, I got to tell you, he is like a wall that you just ram repeatedly, and he just sits there and takes it. Because
he's a beast.
That's
why I said The Rock.
Especially when you
just
throw in
him
like
up.
An Agonizer, or you throw in Morgul's One's Feet, or Defender's Ward, which is on two fucking casters. Hell, you can even... Can you Iron Flesh? No, you can't Iron Flesh the heavies, but...
No.
There's still a lot of stuff. Like, Nareesh can still put him up.
Even just Invaluable Resolve is bad.
You can't Iron Flesh heavies?
No, I think it's Warrior Models.
Yeah, it is.
But still, I mean, Nareesh's feet turn, right? So he can,
You're going north.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We're on the right path, I think. Oh, shit, you're right. Ah, fuck. This is what happens when I'm talking and not paying attention.
Like I said, this is all my fault.
It's okay. I should have just got on I-95 earlier and said, fuck this.
Sorry. Well, just jump across the median.
And the trees and such.
The trees, yeah. The median's over there, buddy. Yeah.
Well, there was a path right over there. There was a path. There's a path. See, look. Clear. Good to go.
Sure. I'm going to go down into that valley with this car. Yeah.
It's like a all-terrain vehicle or whatever, supposedly.
What, this?
What do they call these things?
This is like, no, this is a car.
SUV?
This is not an SUV. This is a car.
Okay. I mean, that's flat enough, right?
Yeah, except for the fact that it's illegal.
Yeah, well, legal schmeagle.
Legal schmeagle? Like, all I can imagine is, like, Gollum being a lawyer now. Legal schmeagle.
That's the name of his movie, right? Yeah. Illegally Blonde, it's
Legal schmeagle.
Yeah. Oh, it could be the name of his law firm.
Well, you see, this creature, Bilbo, stole the ring from me.
Yep.
If we see Exhibit A...
Well, we know when he loses, just like, ah! Like, grabbing his face.
Awesome. Oh, even better if he was in, like, an old-style, like, English lawyer costume with, like,
the wig.
I like it. Legal Schmeagle.
Legal Schmeagle. That's right. Yeah, I don't know where the fuck we are, man. We're on some... we're heading to Wilmington right now.
Yeah.
Oh, are we?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll pick up those guys playing Legion. We just shove them in the back of the car and... go to StormCon.
Hi, John. How are you?
If we get to Wilmington, I'm just going to go to the beach, man. I mean, that's just...
that's just what it is.
Yeah, because, I mean, I graduated from UNC Wilmington, so I really enjoy that area.
Never been.
Neither have I.
It's a great town. They don't pay enough to live there, but it's a great town.
Fair enough.
It's got, like, a really nice, like, old-school downtown district, which is all the bars and clubs, and it caters to all the ages. So you've got like the college bars, but then you've got like the 30-year-old bars.
Nice.
And then you got the guys that are like 40 and 50-year-old bars too. And so you've got all that, and it's all on the waterfront, right? Because it's a port city. All
right.
So
right.
That's where all the downtown stuff is, and then the actual like living areas or the homes and stuff are kind of between that and the school, which is further towards the beach.
Okay.
And then you can drive like 40 minutes and be on one of like three different beaches in Wilmington, which is nice.
That's not shabby.
Sounds good.
Yeah, no, Wilmington's I'm a big
fan.
Yeah. Anyway. So, shit, I don't know what we were talking about.
So the deal is with Stryker 3. What I was talking about with Will after we had our little conversation.
That was not what we were talking about.
I know, but I figured it was a good time to segue.
We want to talk some more Machine Striker 3 instead of Legal Schmeagle?
Yeah, instead of Legal
Schmeagle.
Yeah.
So he's going to paint up Reinhold now in like a little...
That would be...
Luckily for me, I already got Reinhold. When I bought into War Machine,
because
I got my models from Will, he already had his Reinhold. Was one of the few models he had that was painted that he gave me.
It's all right. Back with your Tiberian and the Rock for a second, all I could imagine was like Tiberian with his eyebrow lifted.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Different Rock.
Yeah, like with
that's
a...
That's where I was trying to go.
With a frying, yeah. Like frying something up somehow.
Okay. His shield is a frying pan.
Oh, do you smell?
Oh, Dwayne Johnson. I'm not a fan of wrestling, but I know how popular. I know how popular it is.
Rock.
But I am a. I like Dwayne Johnson, man. I saw him in. What was it? It was not Get Shorty. It's the sequel.
Yeah, Get Smart. Yeah, but Get Shorty's sequel was.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Shorty?
No, he was in the sequel.
The sequel.
Was he in?
Be Cool. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
A great movie.
He's the big gay bodyguard.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Tattoos. That's the right.
Oh my God, he's so funny in that.
It's such a great movie. I didn't even realize he was in it.
Get Shorty is so much
better, man. He is fantastic.
Which reminds me, Will, when you listen to this, we need to watch Be Cool if you haven't seen it, because there's lots of good things about it.
Who was it? Was it?
Watch Get Shorty first. It's better.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen Get Shorty, so I guess what we need to do is watch Get Shorty, then watch Be Cool.
Yeah. Be Cool is an enjoyable movie, but it's not as good as Get Shorty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway. So you got good movies, and then you got enjoyable movies, right?
Yes,
I guess.
Right, yeah.
So you got, like, the quality factor. I mean, granted, enjoyment is what really makes all the difference, but I think we made that distinction. You know, something like Gravity, like, is a good movie, but it's not that enjoyable. right?
Yeah, it's not like
it's great, but I don't want to see Clooney like for 2 hours just floating around in space, right?
Yeah.
But I will watch.
Will you watch Sandra? Would you watch Sandra Bullock for however long?
No, man, I don't. Yeah, I can pick up tons, or I used to pick up tons of girls. I didn't have an issue. Like the chicks on the screen never really did anything like that for me. I'd just be like, I'm just going to actually go get some pussy versus actually just watching it. You know?
Sure.
But
I'm not sure that that's
safe for work.
Well, no, that's definitely not safe for work.
I think you might have just blown some geeks' minds. Possibly Keith. I think.
No, not me.
Maybe not his mind. I feel some stinky stuff.
Are you saying that completely was against what normal geeks are used to having happen?
Right? Yeah. I got you.
It's like, wait, girls? No. Remember.
No.
Not all geeks are like that.
That's true.
Well, no. I mean,
if you go to Dragon Con, you'll see the geeks that are like that not acting like that during Dragon Con week. Because they all have on masks and we'll all get drunk and have orgies, which is kind of crazy. But it's all good.
That's what Dragon Con's about.
Sure.
Or one of the things it can be about.
It's one of it's
one of the many things it could be about.
On the brochure, potential orgies.
I mean, I feel like they draw a different crowd if that was their advertising.
Let me tell you, they do draw a very odd crowd, buddy. So you've got all kinds to go to that event.
I know
we're segueing here, but man, like, you'll see people at that event that are dressed up that are obviously, they don't know shit about comic books.
Yeah.
So they're like not your classic nerd, or they won't know anything about Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever. But they're there because they want to dress up.
All right. Right?
Nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. I mean, and then, you know, you got some guys that are like just beefed up, you know, real muscled up, and they'll go dressed as Spartans or Superman, and you're like, aha! So how do you feel about like the Silver Age Superman versus Golden Age? You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? So they don't know, but they look great in the costume, right? And that's why they're there. And that's cool. I mean, they're just having fun. But it's funny. So you've got that, and then you've got like the super nerds that can tell you the fucking like page on Action Comics number 4 of what happens, you know.
I think I need to go. Sorry.
So what happens on page 4 of Action Comics number 36?
I have no idea. Uh-huh, sure. I don't remember the comics.
I think it was a public service announcement from Superman or possibly Spider-Man telling you that you should stop looking at girls on screen and instead go out and get some, let me quote, pussy.
Pussy. Yeah. No, I think Action Comics number 30 would have been in like the 19. So Action Comics number 1 came out, what, like 1937, 1938? So it would only be around 1940. So likely it might have been Superman punching a Nazi. That's what I'm going with at that point, right?
Good guess.
Yep.
Well, I just think it's funny because you just gave me a pretty complete education on Wonder Woman the last time we were talking at Gamers Armory.
Wonder Woman's fucking background is ridiculous. There are a few worse than hers, like her, like Donna Troya, her clone, mirror twin sister, what the fuck, sidekick, whatever she is. Her backstory is kind of shitty and convoluted. Aquaman has a really weird ass backstory because he's either Arthur Curry or he's Orin, Lord of the fucking Atlantis Wicker people. I don't know. Yeah, Atlantean Wicker people. Think about that. They're soggy. That's just the problem. They don't hold up too well. But
then they're really good underwater basket weaving.
They are. Very good. That shit's got to be tight.
Tight weave.
Yep. Tight weave. But Hawkman's probably the worst, and I love Hawkman because Hawkman's one of those heroes that he's got the cable-like personality, but he doesn't have all the pouches, so I'm a fan of that, right?
Yeah.
He's got that early 90s, I'm going to beat the shit out of things, but no pouches, no guns. He does it old school. He takes a net and a hammer, and he hits you in the face. Right? It's a mace, but, you know.
It's something you can relate to, right?
That is. He's OG, man. He's OG. You gotta appreciate that. But God, man, he's got like 3 fucking backstories, and none of them make any goddamn sense.
It was you guys. I think it was when we were going to GnomeCon, or maybe it was Scarab. I don't remember. But when Aquaman was so...
Oh, yeah, Aquaman would drown in the bathtub. I said that, yeah. Yeah.
I was so in despair, he drowned in a bathtub.
You gotta think, though, man. No, he don't have any friends. He's talking to the fish; they're ignoring him. You know, I mean, it's just that's a sad life, dude. It's a sad life. Aquaman does get talked a lot of shit about, and there's a reason why. He is not a very good hero. I mean, I understand the New 52; they've done some stuff, tried to make him a little bit more of a badass. But like, at the end of the day, Aquaman, the only thing that's cool about him is that he's the king of Atlantis, right?
Yeah.
And so reading the comics, he's like a everybody else has all, he's just a weaker version of everybody else, right? So all he is like a super strong dude that can swim really fast and telepathically talk to sea life and potentially even manipulate it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And he can heal fast. He's got like a really good regenerative ability, especially if he's in water. But, so who gives a shit? Everybody on the Justice League is superhumanly strong, superhumanly resistant, you know, except for Batman. But it don't matter because he's the fucking,
or you're Batman.
Or you're the fucking Batman,
or you're
right?
Batman.
Which means you've got plot armor that is invulnerable.
Exactly.
But I think that was the reason why nobody liked him, right? And they did try to do some cool stuff. I mean, they gave him the long hair and the beard. He looked kind of cool when they gave him the hook hand and all that. And I still, though, in the comics, like in the Justice League, half the time, he'd be fucking sitting in the watchtower just on satellite duty. Because he wasn't that cool, right?
Was the satellite duty underwater?
No, it's actually in the watchtowers. It's in space, right?
Yeah, it's in space, yeah.
So even then, he's even like, he's really a fish out of water. That's all there is to it, right?
Yeah.
That's a bad joke.
Yeah, it was.
But hey, sometimes you got to do it for the halibut, right?
That's right.
Yeah, put them on. Anyway.
Will's going to love you.
Thank you, Dr. Demento. Thank you, Dr. Demento.
But, so anyway, I read those comics, right? And I didn't really like Aquaman. Now, they did do a while back, they replaced Arthur with a different Aquaman before the New 52, and they basically wrote it as Sword of Conan. And it was awesome because it was fucking Sword of Conan. Just like Planet Hulk was awesome because it's fucking Sword of Conan, right? But I watched the Justice League cartoon, right, when it came out. And in, like, the first appearance of Aquaman on the Justice League cartoon, he was so much cooler in that than he ever was in the comic books. So I was like, what the fuck? You could have done this with him, people. Because, you know, he cuts off his own fucking hand to save his kid. You know?
Right,
and
yeah.
Did you not seen this, Dave?
I've not.
Okay, so what they do is he's in charge of Atlantis. He's in control of 3/4 of the world because he's in control of all the water,
oceans, right?
The ocean. So he comes up and he's like, basically, UN. Fuck you guys, because you're doing shit to the waters, right?
Yeah.
And his brother, Ocean Master, is a bad guy. But this is before he's become a bad guy. And he's setting up all the shit to kind of get Aquaman in trouble and all that, and take over the throne and bang Mera, his wife. And so he kidnaps their kid, right?
Yeah.
And he's able to defeat Arthur in combat, like sucker punch surprise type thing. And when Arthur wakes up, he's kind of like pinned with these chains in a way to the side of a cliff, and the baby's got one too. It's just like in the baby blanket holding up in the water, and on up above them there's like something falling. I think it's like a ship or whatever, and it's going to kill them all, right? And Aquaman manages to rip off one of them, but he can't get his hand free from the other one, and it's crunch time, right? And so all you see is him grab his belt buckle, and the next thing he walks into his own throne room with his left hand wrapped up. The hand is gone, right? Just at the stump, and he's got his baby. He cut his fucking hand off to save his kid, and I went, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That shows you not only is he a hero, but he's willing to do what he has to do.
Right.
Which is a hero, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
No matter the cost, to save the day. And I was like, that's sweet. You know, they gave him some super strength, but still, I don't care how strong you are, you can't punch Superman if you're Aquaman. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're like, well, he lives under the ocean in the crushing depths, and I'm like, fucking Superman can take a nuke.
Yeah.
Suck his dick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, he's Superman. So it's
I feel
really
like
hard
a joke
to
in there about taking a nuke.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm pretty sure that's what Superman would be, right? Yeah, you've seen the Man of Steel Woman, a Kleenex thing, I'm sure, right?
What?
Someone wrote this, I think it was actually after Mallrats. They made
that.
The joke about, like, they were talking about all the dicks and everything on Mallrats,
sure.
And like Jay and Silent Bob, Jay makes the joke about his super jizz. And so someone like writes up a fucking thesis paper about how powerful his sperm would be.
Right.
And so that Lois couldn't have sex with him. So it was like Woman of Kleenex, Man of Steel. Get it?
Gotcha,
and I was like, I don't want to think about this, but that's funny as shit. And it's true, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah.
And my favorite one in the thesis was like, and even if by some miracle Lois could conceive a Kryptonian child, she couldn't even go out in the sun because the moment she gets a tan, the kid fucking kicks, you know, and puts his foot through her stomach, right?
Right.
So I was like, it's a tan. That's true. Kryptonians. Woo. But, you know, things you don't think about until someone brings them up. And then you're like, God damn, you putting that shit in my head. But, again, but going back to Aquaman, that Justice League cartoon made him a solid character.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you've got someone that, when you compare him to all the other comic book characters, he's kind of real low-powered, low-tier compared to them. So you got to do something to distinguish. And they never really, they tried things in the comics. They tried to play on his telepathy. You know, they gave him some magic. And then the Justice League kind of did that, and I think they started writing him more like that in the comics, you know, to try to, because they saw the success. But then, on the other hand, his Marvel equivalent is so much fucking cooler than
his. Yeah, Namor's a badass.
Because Namor's a dick, right? I mean, that's why you like him. He's just an asshole. He's like, I'm going to fucking beat the hell out of you, and I'm still going to, you know, he's like, I'm the good guy, and I'm still going to beat the good guy's ass, right? He'll punch the fucking Hulk, don't give a shit.
Yeah.
He punches Iron Man, don't give a shit. Nobody gives him, he takes no slack from anybody. He's got a fucking, to say he's like a ruler with an iron fist is an understatement. He's like a villain. I mean, he originally was a villain, right?
Yep.
Well, he was a hero, then when they, then Marvel got the rights back to him, or not the rights back, when Marvel put him back in the comics in the Fantastic Four, when they brought him back from the old school comics, before Marvel, They kind of rewrote him as a villain. You know, he's with Doctor Doom for a long time and all that, and the villain team-ups and stuff. But he's just an asshole, and he's like the cool asshole that everybody wants to be, right? And he walks around half-naked, which is hilarious. You know, he's got little Speedos. You're like, you cannot be tough wearing green Speedos and having giant fucking wings on your feet. But he is, right? And the best thing at all, when he interacts with the Fantastic Four, he basically goes, I'm fucking you tonight. To Sue, right? I mean, just nonstop. He's like, I'm banging Sue, I'm banging Sue, I'm banging Sue. And Reed's like, no, you're not. He's like, shut the fuck up, Reed Richards, I'm banging Sue. And Reed's like, I'm the smartest man in the world. He's like, shut the fuck up, I'm banging your wife. And Sue? Sue's okay with that for some reason, which makes Reed feel even worse. And I mean, you know, it's not like
Reed. To be fair, Reed is kind of a dick himself, so.
Well, I think, Reed's not really a dick. He's got that old school, like mid-50s era, like old-school sci-fi action scientist thing going on, right? So he's all about the mission and science, and I think he's supposed to be a good dad. It's just we never see it, you know, and supposed to be a good wife. And if nothing else, I mean, his wife should be super happy with him considering, you know, the stretchy powers.
Right. Yeah, you'd think that.
You know, I'm sure all the stretchy guys' wives are always happy all the time. Come on.
I mean, that's all it takes.
I mean, if you think about it, the stretchy guys are all married.
That's true.
Plastic Man, Elongated Man.
Elongated Man? Is there such a guy?
Yes, there is. Okay, so Elongated Elongated Man is... I know, right? You gotta laugh.
Back of the seat right. With his head
so elongated, no. Elongated Man has the same powers as Mr. Fantastic, right?
He's not as smart, right?
Right, he's not smart at all. He's a detective. He's like Batman level detective abilities.
Okay,
but he's not like a genius level scientist.
Which part of Batman level, like the super god Batman, or the street level Batman?
The street level Batman. Right. I can solve a mystery. So he's like his books are actually pretty neat because they're mystery books, and his superpowers are kind of secondary to the books, right? And then Plastic Man is like a god level character in the comics because he can do whatever he wants. He turned himself into a toilet in the comic and flushed the dude. The dude disappeared.